Time for some basketball talk. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, and the Locked On Celtics podcast joins us. Hello there, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Outstanding. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Well, big night for the Celtics here. Win tonight, and they clinch no worse than a number two seed in the East.
Yeah, they have, it's just the magic number there is one, so any combination of Celtics win Philly loss gets them that second seed, and just so happens that they're playing each other tonight, so they can take care of that. The good thing is that they have, you know, a few more chances if tonight doesn't pan out, and they might not have Jaylen Brown, they won't have Robert Williams, so they seem to be preparing for getting guys healthy, strategically playing some guys over the next week, the rest of the week, because the season ends on Sunday. This would be a nice game, though, to if they can go out there and send a little bit of a message while they're clinching the second seed, all the better.
Now, mathematically, they could still get the number one seed, but it seems a long shot given who Milwaukee plays down the stretch. Are they still thinking about that, or was that the whole point of the 41-point road victory to say, we'll play who we play wherever we have to play them?
That's it. It's the latter. It's the last thing you said. Aside from Malcolm Brogdon, who, you know, they call him the president, and it's because of his demeanor, but he also has very politically thought out statements. Like he knows that you've got to go out there and say you're going for the top seed. The rest of the team has, over the past week or two, kind of been a little more lukewarm about that top seed. And in practice yesterday, Robert Williams said it's not our number one priority. It's about being healthy and ready for the postseason. And you go into the postseason as healthy as possible, they feel like they can beat anybody anywhere. And even though the Bucks were, you know, tired and in, you know, back to back and five games and seven nights and all of that, it was still kind of like a message like, you guys need to be at your best to beat us or to have a chance, and we don't care where we play you. So they're not too worried about a conference finals where all you got to do is steal one of the first two games. You go in there, you steal one of those first two on the road. Now you have home court advantage back again. And so they feel like they can do that.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown, a new collective bargaining agreement. And it has a lot of implications in a number of ways. Well, let's start with the Celtics. And how does it impact somebody like a Jaylen Brown?
Well, Jaylen Brown does now have the ability to sign an extension that's closer to just a regular max contract. So there are a couple of max contracts that he can sign. If one of them is getting about 30% of the salary cap, the way that teams are allowed to pay their star players, it's not by a contract, like a number, it's by a percentage of the cap. There you go. My dog is very happy about that. they can offer him 30% of the cap just as a regular free agent. If he makes all NBA, he can get 35% of the cap. This collective bargaining agreement allows him to get a raise that's kind of equal to 30% of the cap. So it puts him in the range where if for some reason he doesn't make all NBA, they have an option there that they can give him to kind of allow him to sign and not lose anything. I still don't expect it to happen that way, because if he doesn't make all NBA this year, he can go for all NBA next year. And if he gets that, then he can still get his 35%. And that's, you know, that's a significant amount of money. That's many, many millions of dollars. So, it just gives the Celtics an option and a way to perhaps say, here's a major offer that at least makes a little bit of sense for him versus a raise that would have been 120% off of his last year's salary that wouldn't have made any sense for him. So it's possible that they can offer him a contract, and if he's so inclined, he can sign it and not lose much money.
Now, can you give us a layman's explanation for salary cap smoothing?
Yeah. So basically, in a couple of years, there's going to be a new TV deal. And the league and the players split the money 50-50, basically 50-50, 51-49. So they each take their half. And, like, remember when they signed Kevin Durant, when Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, there was that huge cap spike of, like, $20 million. If the new TV deal happens and there is no smoothing, then you'd have a major cap spike like that, where everybody would all of a sudden have $20, $30 million in cap space. By smoothing it, they said, hey, look, we're gonna maximum increase in the cap is going to be 10%. So next, that first year of the TV deal, no matter what, the cap goes up no more than 10%. If the next year, the increase in income and the whatever's left over from the deal, if that is more than 10%, then again, another maximum 10% increase. The year after that, if you have whatever's left over and the income is more than 10%, then you get another 10% increase. You see what I'm saying? And then until the league kind of catches up to just whatever its increase every year of revenue is. So they're going to cap it at 10% each year until they catch up to the regular income. So teams aren't, not everybody has cap space, and a greater number of players has access to an increase in the salary cap. So it's not just one free agent class that gets a ton of money and then the next year's doesn't. Everybody kind of has access to it over the next four years or so. So that's kind of, I hope I got that. I hope I explained that well enough.
Yeah, well, I understand it a little bit better now. So if I can get it, I'm pretty sure everybody else does. Now, does this also mean, John, that there'll be some teams that won't be able to use an MLE?
Yeah. So the one of the things with the new collective bargaining agreement is teams over the cap have what's called a mid-level exception. If you want to use the full mid-level exception, that's the, you know, you get about, this past season, you get about $11 million. There's the taxpayer mid-level. So if you're over the tax, you got just about $7 million. That's how the Celtics got Gallinari. That's how a couple of Joe Ingles, those guys were signed. Now there's going to be another tier with the new agreement. I'll call it, you know, we've been calling it the super tax on the podcast, where there's a number $17.5 million above the cap line, where if you're over that, then you lose your mid-level exception altogether. And then you also lose the ability to do other things like certain restrictions on trades where you can't send out cash and you can't send out as many first-round picks, and you can't take back more salary than you send out. You got to take back less. So the theory there is, once you've gotten to $17.5 million into the tax, you are now considered, the theory is you've paid everybody that you're going to pay. Your team should be good enough, and they're not going to allow guys to come in, those mid-level guys, to make a good team already better. They want that talent to be more spread out. They want those great teams to you've either got to be super efficient at your scouting and your drafting and your developing, or you got to be figuring out how to make certain trades that you can still keep your role going, or you got to come back down to earth. And what they don't want is 10-year dynasties. They want to keep things a little bit more in check. They want that parity. So, yeah, basically the Celtics and a few other teams are going to be the big spenders. It'll be phased in, but they're going to lose ways to add talent to the roster.
All right, and finally, you had a terrific one-on-one with Grant Williams. It sounds like he learned a little bit from his benching and is a new, improved Grant Williams.
Yeah, well, he seems to have, like, calmed down a little bit when it comes to antics on the floor. You know, he's not going after the referees the same way. You know, we saw him be very demonstrative. That's kind of gone away. We saw him celebrating three-pointers. He's not really doing that anymore. He's a little bit more businesslike. I think he just understands, like, I'm not going to be a distraction. I'm not going to be the guy that is going to do anything besides my job. I go out there, I shoot my shots, I rebound, I defend, and that's going to be it. And you know, that's very welcome news, because that's what the Celtics need from him. They don't need him to do all this other stuff. Plenty of people can argue with the officials. So it's nice to see a little bit of a toned down Grant Williams just understands, this is what the team needs from me, so that's what I'm going to give them.
John Corrales, check out his work, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, appreciate it as always. Enjoy that game tonight. Give your dog a little rub under the chin for us, and we'll check in with you next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
You got it. John Corrales on Downtown.